Well, indeed, we're thankful for the love of God, aren't we? Indeed, He loves us so. He demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Throughout this worship service, you have heard a theme of the love of God. You have heard about His attribute of faithfulness, His goodness, right? Did you hear that? And so we continue to explore those themes this morning. But I don't know about you, but as we think about His faithfulness, as we think about His goodness, as we think about His love, it should motivate us, to serve Him. Would you agree with that? We love Him because, what? He first loved us, right? And so because of His great love for us, because of His faithfulness, we should love Him in return. We are judged by our faithfulness to Him, right? A steward is supposed to be faithful in his service. And so our desire, our prayer is that we are faithful to the Lord and use the resources that we have been given to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just recently, through leadership and through various committees, we have been talking about using the resources of this church. And we are blessed. I don't know how many of you know some other churches, but we've been blessed with a lot of resources in our church. Approximately 20 acres here at our church that our church has been blessed with. And from the buildings to the field and to the things of that nature, we're so thankful for what God has given us. And so the conversation has been, for example, on the responsibility that we have to use the resources that we have for God's glory. So whether it's a church or whether it's the Christian life, we all have resources, don't we? We have all been blessed by whatever God has given us, and so He desires, He expects us to use it for His glory. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I invite you to a familiar passage, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 24. A passage that talks about the importance of spiritual investment and stewardship of the resources that God has given us. Once again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, as you join me. And in verse 19, it begins by saying this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon, otherwise known as money." Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and we are grateful for all your blessings. We are thankful so much for your great love for us. We are thankful for the goodness and the mercy that you demonstrate to us each and every day. We are thankful, O Lord, for your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, and we hold on to these truths because it's who you are. And it's what you have done for us. Now, O Lord, because of your great love that you have demonstrated for us, because of your great faithfulness which you have demonstrated to us, because of your great goodness which you give to us each and every day, now in turn, O Lord, may we worship you. May we honor you. May we glorify you. And may we use the resources that you have given us for your glory. This we do pray in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, certainly I don't want to just be negative about investments. I think it is wise to invest for the future. We're not saying that it's not wise. That's good. It's practical. It's even biblical to save and to invest for the future. But what I do want to emphasize is what is even greater, and that is that we focus on eternal investments. Investments that are eternal. This should guide our life. For as the passage says, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So how do we demonstrate that we are trusting God with the treasures that He has given us? Today I want to look at a few ways in which we can demonstrate that we are trusting the Lord with the resources that He has given us. First of all, one thing that's going to demonstrate that we are trusting God with the resources that He has given us, we are trusting God to meet our needs, is that we are faithful in our tithes and offerings. Oh, we're about to tackle a tough issue, aren't we? But how true it is. You see, what we do with the resource of our money really shows what we care about, right? It shows what we are investing in. And so we see the importance of this all throughout Scripture. In fact, in the Old Testament, we saw the groundwork, the principles for the principle of tithe. I mean, all the way back to Genesis, we see Abraham gave a tithe in Genesis chapter 14. We also see later in Genesis that the patriarch Jacob promises to give a tenth or a 10% of his first fruits to the Lord. We see this principle time and time again all throughout the Old Testament. In fact, they had various offerings that they would give to the Lord back in the Old Testament. And so we saw the principle of that all laid out in the Old Testament. We saw the seriousness for the children of Israel when they did not tithe. In Malachi 3 verses 8 through 10, it refers to the one who refuses to tithe and give their offerings to the Lord as having robbed God. Now I know this is an Old Testament principle, and I know this is in reference to the children of Israel, but I do believe that the principle applies to the follower of Jesus Christ as well. What a shame it would be if we are withholding from the Lord. I believe we have a responsibility, we have a blessing, we have a privilege to give to the Lord to build up the kingdom of God. He allows us the privilege to participate. As many times as those who come and pray for the offering, they say something to the effect of, "Thank you, O Lord, for this opportunity for us to give a portion of what we have received." See, it's a mindset that it all belongs to the Lord, and it is a privilege and a blessing to give these tithes and the offerings to the Lord. One thing that's happening right now is, of course, the regular tithes and offerings are being received. Of course, it covers expenses and such of the church. We are currently, as you just were reminded of by way of the video, in the North American Mission Board campaign of raising an additional offering that will go to the missionaries and church planners of our convention who are involved in the church planning and such. All of that offering, all of that goes to the missionaries and church planners. That is a blessing. I happened to just recently in Dallas, Texas, the most recent convention, ran right into on the elevator one of those church planners. And so I picked his brain at the time. He was from Canada. And so we had a chance and a conversation about what they're doing in Canada and how the Lord is blessing and such. And I walked away out of the elevator saying my goodbyes to him and what have you and vice versa and such. But I walked away thinking, wow, we are a part of that, right? What a privilege. What a blessing. You see, those financial resources that we are blessed with, as we give it back over to the Lord, will go places that we'll never go to. And it will do God's work in places that we have never been or might never be at. What a privilege. That passage actually goes on to also talk about the positive of bringing the tithes and the offerings in the storehouse and that the blessing that will take place from the faithfulness of tithing and faithfully giving to the Lord. And so we see the blessing of honoring the Lord with this resource that He has given us, this monetary resource. Proverbs 3, verse 9, another Old Testament passage, goes on to remind us of the principle of honoring the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And as we move into the New Testament, we see this principle once again revisited as we see that in the early church and beyond into our day and time, we see the principle of the blessing once again and the privilege of giving to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 7 reminds us of this. It goes on to say this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And we get a picture of what is taking place in that passage, right? It is a privilege. It is a blessing. And the principle that we see is not to be grudgingly and to be hoarding, if you will, and holding it all in, enjoying it just for ourselves. But you see the contrast of that, which is to be a generous giver. God has been generous to us. He has blessed us so much. All good things come from the Lord. All His blessings are there from Him. And so we understand that it is a privilege to participate in His work. And so what we see is a contrast between hoarding and being grudgingly and holding on to it just for ourselves, living for ourselves, but rather cheerfully giving. And what we have is a mindset of a hilarious giver. And so what it is if you've ever met, and I know you have, somebody that is joyful, somebody that's jolly, if you will, somebody that is exuberant. My Uncle Bob happened to be one of those people many years ago that you just love to be in his presence, because he was so joyful. And laughter abounded in the home if he was ever around. And so it is. It's a picture of that. This cheerful, generous, gracious, hilarious giver, if you will. And so it is. It's a privilege. It is a blessing. The Lord has given us the opportunity to give of our treasure out of the heart. And certainly the monetary resources given out of a heart of love, given out of a heart of generosity and gratitude, certainly is honored by the Lord. And so it is that we have the opportunity to give our tithes and our offerings. Another thing that we have the opportunity to do is to give of our talents to the Lord. God has given us the treasure and has entrusted us with the abilities and the gifts and the talents that He has given us. James 1, verse 17 reminds us that it's all from the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God indeed gives us the abilities, the gifts, the talents that we have. And believers are taught in passages such as 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and such to use these spiritual gifts for the Lord. So a question I have for you and myself included is this. We must ask ourselves, how are we going to use the talents that God has given us? Are we going to use them for His glory, or are we going to waste them by not using them? Some years ago, I watched a documentary about a Texas high school football team. They won the state championship, and the team was considered the most talented teams in Texas high school football history. Many of those players were All-Americans. Many of those players received full scholarships to the schools of their choice. They had such opportunity. They had such a bright future. The documentary went on to demonstrate that one individual used those talents wisely. He stayed focused. He stayed out of trouble. He went on to excel in college. Went on to excel in the NFL. But unfortunately, that was not the case for most of his teammates. You see, after the season, unlike him, they did not keep their nose clean, if you will. They did not stay out of trouble. So at the completion of the season, they got into trouble. In fact, even criminal activity. They became a gang. that actually robbed individuals. And so it was that finally the law caught up with them. And so it was that many of them were arrested. They went to court. They received their judgment. They went off to prison for many years. The documentary went on to interview some of these former players, these former All-Americans, these individuals that had so much potential. And it was obvious that these individuals lived with regret. What if? What could have been? What could they have done if only they had made different choices in their lives? You see, they had great talent. They had great gifts. They had great abilities. But unfortunately, many of them squandered the opportunities and never met their full potentials. Followers of Christ, I can't think of anything sadder for us in that we have been given abilities. We've been given talents. We've been given gifts. We've been given opportunities. And how sad it would be if we squander those opportunities, those resources that God has given us as a church, but also as individual believers. Let us not have to ask at the end of our lives, what if? What could have been done? If only I had made different choices. Now, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. And so I'm not talking about mistakes or just a time in our life, but I'm talking about a lifetime and a lifestyle of living for the Lord. We're reminded that we have been blessed with so much. We have been given so much. God has given us these abilities and talents and opportunities for His glory. And we're reminded that to whom much is given, much is required. And so it is that much is required from us for the glory of Almighty God. So may the Lord find us faithful. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to mess up. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, but you don't understand. I live much of my life regretting, making some mistakes, being backslidden as a follower of Jesus Christ, not living for the Lord for the full potential. And I would say this, that everybody has a past. We've all made mistakes. But all we can do is move forward. And if you made mistakes in the past, you can move forward and you can use the rest of your life for His glory. The Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on to the high calling, to that mark which is pleasing the Lord in Christ Jesus. So it is that maybe we weren't the greatest parents in our lifetime, but maybe you have the opportunity to be the greatest grandparent. Maybe you have lived away from the Lord much of the time of your life and fallen away and lived in a backslidden slate, but thanks be to God, He gives us a new, fresh opportunity. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can move forward with Christ. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we see the importance of making wise investments. Investments that have eternal value. We talked already about the opportunity to give of our tithe and our offerings, these talents that we have just referenced. And then finally, let us look at the importance of using our time for God's glory as well. You know, the older we get, the more we understand that time simply is short, isn't it? That time flies, right? Time certainly is a special commodity, but we know time is limited and is certainly precious. So how we use our time is of great importance. And as we close this morning, I want to share three ways that I believe are ways that we can use our time in a way that honors the Lord. First of all, that I believe the priority of a believer in Christ is that we must spend time in God's presence. Recently, we have been talking about the importance of a prayer life and a devotional life, that prayer closet where we meet with God on a daily basis and we seek His face. We are spending time in His presence. Matthew 6, verse 33 reminds us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so our priority ought to be to spend time with the great God whom we serve, to pray to the Lord, but to hear from the Lord as we're opening up the Word of God, as we're receiving His instruction, as we're bringing our prayers, concerns, but also our praise to Him, a heart of thanksgiving with Him, and it will absolutely change our lives. We can trust in the great God whom we serve. So we ought to spend time in God's presence. And I would simply say this, that when we spend time in God's presence, we will also have a desire to spend time with God's people. We live in a day and time, I know, in which we have more resources for biblical teaching and preaching than ever before. But there's something special about God's people spending time together. When we come together in fellowship, when we come together in prayer, when we come together in worship, when we come together in serving the Lord, something special takes place in the body of Christ. Scripture reminds us where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst. We're reminded that as Hebrews instructs us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and too much more as you see the day approaching. Just moments ago, David referenced that COVID period. Let me tell you, that passage jumped out to me during that time period when we would literally be singing and worshiping and preaching to 10 people or less. Remember that? In this place. Let me tell you something. I don't care so much about attendance anymore. If we have more than 10 people, or if we had less than 10 people, it would be okay. I'm grateful for whoever attends here at our church. But once again, there was something that was missing. And I'll tell you one thing that I realized, that every time a church member made an excuse to come to the church, maybe they were giving their offering. Oh my goodness, I was so blessed by the faithfulness of those who gave during that time. We started out with an envelope because people would just bring by their tithes and offerings and say, hey, some would actually give a little bit more because they knew we were going to go through a hard time. And I was so touched by the testimony of their faithfulness. They were getting nothing from the ministry at that time. It was all because of their love for the Lord that they gave during that time. Oh, they were faithful in their giving. They were faithful in their living. I remember individuals coming up during that time, having an excuse for maybe taking a walk or whatever. And I'd see a church member that was walking through the property, and I'd go outside just because I was lonely and I wanted to talk to somebody. And I'd be like, how good is it to see you at this time? We even began like a little coffee ministry at that time, a little bit of a coffee cafe, just for an excuse to hang out with some people and things of that nature. But I was reminded how good it is when two or three followers of Jesus Christ get together. He is in our midst. How good it is when we come and assemble together as a body of Christ. He is in our midst. He is doing a work, those gifts that we talked about just moments ago, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Each and every one of believers have unique spiritual gifts. And when we come together, there is a diversity of spiritual gifts. But as we come together, those various gifts are used for the purpose of building up the body of Christ and for God's glory. And so it is, I will encourage you to come and assemble with other believers in Christ, because God has designed the assembling of ourselves as the body of Christ, as a church of the living God. Spend time in His presence. Spend time with God's people. Spend time with God's priorities, the things that really matter, the things that are important to God. Let me ask you something. How we spend our time reveals what is important to us. So the question is, what is a priority for us? And how do we spend our time? Do we prioritize what God prioritizes? We must use our time wisely in a way that honors the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 16 reminds us that we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we know good and well that Satan's demonic forces are alive and well, and they are very busy. And I believe they're very busy because the days are drawing nigh. The days are shortened. Jesus is coming soon. As Revelation 1 verse 3 reminds us, the time is near. Jesus is coming soon. And so it is, of course, obvious that the forces of darkness, Satan's demonic forces, are going to become more active. And you can see it all throughout our culture, can't we? Look at the media. Look at the reports of the wickedness that is revealed. But I will say this, that as we even referenced in our Sunday school class just moments ago, that yes, there is evil, there is wickedness, but where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father of Jesus Christ, we don't have to be defeated. We can be victorious not because of us, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He has gifted us. He has given us resources. It is only our reasonable service. It is only what comes natural or should come natural, what makes sense, that we would give a portion of it back to the Lord. So, Father of Jesus Christ, how are we using our monetary resources? Do we prioritize Him? Do we give of our first fruits? Do we give of our tithes and offerings? And do we do so in a cheerful manner? Because God loves a cheerful giver. How are we using that? How are we using the talents that God has given us? You might say, I have no talent. I've got no gifts. That's a bunch of baloney. My kids, I say this often, that's a bunch of balagna. That's what I say to them because that's how it's spelled. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God has gifted you. It's not about you. It's about the Spirit of God who has gifted you and strengthened you for His service and for His glory. So how are you using the talents, the gifts, and abilities, the resources that God has given us? How are we using our time, followers of Jesus Christ? Are we using it wisely? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. May we redeem the time as followers of Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I'd also like to focus on the time for you, because the time is short. Jesus is coming soon. We don't know when, but we understand that He calls us to be ready. I'm here to tell you, I've got good news based on the Word of God, that you can be ready to meet Jesus. The Bible says that the God whom we love, that we've talked about so much already throughout the service, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, the Son of God, who was fully God, but who also became fully man, so that He could grow up in all the stages of life. But the crowning moment was on that old, rugged cross. Followers of Christ, we cherish the symbol of that because we know what Christ did on that cross for you and for me, and He'll do it for you as well. He has done it for you, and He offers a salvation to you as well. If you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and what does He require? He's done it all for you. And so it is that if you admit that you need Him, that you need a Savior, that you are a sinner, that none of us are righteous, no, not one, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Savior who died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Receive Him by faith. And as Lord, the Bible says you will be saved. You might be saying, I hear you, but I'm not ready. Let me tell you something. I've lived long enough to see where people departed from this life unexpectedly and tragically. And I would simply say this, that we just don't know what the future holds. And that's why Scripture says, now is the accepted day of salvation. Don't wait another minute. We're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to invite you to come forward if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Follow Jesus Christ. Do business with God as He leads. Whatever it may be, now is the time. Be ready for Christ's return. Use our lives wisely. Give our lives to the Lord. He has given us this resource. We want to use it for God's glory. As Mr. David is coming forward and as the worship team is coming forward to lead us in a time of invitation, join me in rising as we go to the Lord, preparing our hearts for this time of invitation. Let us pray. Father, we do come before You, and we are so thankful for all Your blessings. All good things and perfect things come from above, from the great Father who is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning. You are a great God. You are a faithful God. And we bring our worship to You. We do love You because You first loved us. But Father, I pray that we will demonstrate our love by how we live and how we live for You. Help us to love You first and then therefore to love others. We do pray. Help us, O Father, to use our resources wisely. All the time that You have given, the talents that You have given, the monetary resources that You have given, whatever resources that You have entrusted to us. May we be good stewards of those resources. May we invest in what really matters for all eternity. We do pray. And then, O Lord, there's nothing that's more important than a soul. We have talked about the importance of that this morning, and we have referenced the fact, and You love each person, and how sad it would be for someone to gain the whole world but lose their own soul, living for this world, how tragic it would be. But now, O Lord, open their eyes that they may see You. Open their hearts that they may receive You. And we'll give You all the honor and the praise for what You do during this time of invitation as we just simply respond in obedience, however You are leading. Bless this time of invitation, the invitation that is Yours. We'll give You the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.